for a start, at least the majority of numbers are in, so the committee meeting is correct, and that way let us welcome members in their very busy schedule this week. We really appreciate that they've made their way through for the committee. That is the chairperson of the portfolio committee on public works. She's presenting this afternoon or evening, and there's a chairperson in the extreme right for basic education. So we have a very busy committee, which itself has got individuals who are now picking up the pieces for their own work. But I think it's in order that I should appreciate that we've made it to come to the meeting. All the members are welcome. We thought that it's prudent that we must have this brief meeting, which ought to take the members through the work which has been done in the previous term, for us to be aware of what sort of issues have been dealt with, what are these other areas which are still outstanding for our attention in terms of the new term, and as well prepare ourselves for a brief program which is going to be observed in the first quarter of our being here in the assembly. So we agree on those elements that we must somewhat handle. I think the whip, we appreciate the fact that with the administration we had a brief session where we agreed that let's make this presentation for members, which is not going to be a long presentation. We have as well made available for members, because we know that we are taking off your time for lunch, that you could pick up something when we are finished in terms of the our own engagement. We hope that we are going to work very well together, as I already started to have discussions with the chairperson of SCOPA. There are some agreements on some areas that we need to collaborate on, because the work that we do somewhat begins to show some similarities on areas that we need to attend here and there. And looking into the announcements and documents that have handed over to other committees already, I've seen that the report on the audit of the local government has been handed by the speaker to the committee on SCOPA to process it, and therefore is something that we probably would live with in terms of getting closer to that committee when it handles such matters going forward. Process in our interest as well that we must be receiving a briefing from the Auditor General on the current pronounced outcomes for the local government. The agenda, I hope that is in front of us. It carries two critical areas. One is on the briefing, which we're going to be receiving from a content advisor, and the second one will be the consideration of the committee program. Both of them are not long items. The first one might take us probably to about 30 minutes, and the other one will take about 3-4 minutes for us to finalize. It has been made properly for such to take us through. It's our first time to meet with the members who are assisting the committee to work, who are present here with us. So I'm going to ask them to make short introductions so we could know who is here, what is he or she is doing, and then probably as well some short introduction to ourselves. As you would know that my name is Sakum Somyo. I'm chairing the committee. Next to me is the committee secretary. If you remember, on the first meeting, we received an apology that he's not in. He's present now, so he's make his own introduction and then ask his other members to do so.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Members, my name is Peter Paul Mbele, and as the Chairperson has just announced, I'm the Committee Secretary for the term, and I certainly look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members. My name is Tuli Sile Mkachi. I'm the current advisor for the committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Mbuyisele Hlekiso. I'm the researcher of the committee. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. I'm Charlene Sheldon. I'm the committee assistant. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Faith Denze. I'm the media officer for the committee.
Okay. Cool. Yes.
Good afternoon, I'm Bongi Webinokikawa, the member in the committee.
Good afternoon, I'm Eleanor Spitz, and I'm a member of the Committee for the Democratic Alliance.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Jan de Vadeers, also a member of the Committee for the Democratic Alliance.
Good afternoon, I'm Nolita Ndumongwana, the member of the committee from ANC.
Good afternoon, Chair and colleagues. My name is Oscar Matasa. I'm a member of the committee from the African National Congress. Thank you.
Good afternoon, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen.
Zola Mlenzana of the ANC, member of the committee.
My name is Boy Mamabolo, the member of this committee and a member of the majority party.
Thank you very much, honorable members, and ladies and gentlemen. I check it that the agenda is adopted so that we can continue with the agenda as it is. Is that agreed? It's moved for adoption, supported by the Democratic Alliance. Thank you very much. We give over to yourself, Mr. Nkaji, to make the presentation. The presentation is going to be dependent on the, I hope that we have received the printouts in terms of the errors of the presentation. This is what I'm going to receive on. Mr. Nkaji.
Thanks, Chair. I will present, I will just make a brief summary of actually what were the issues and challenges from the previous committee. As Chairperson has alluded, we have got these two, this is a word document of it. I think there is a document which just gives explanation and also there is a PowerPoint, but we support the project, but the technology has not been on our side. I'll take you through, and I think wherever I left some other thing, my colleague, Mr. Hlekiso, will also add. Chair and honorable members, we are here for this committee called Standing Committee on Auditor General. This committee is called Standing Committee. I think when we have been briefed, we have been given the reason or the difference, we have been told what is the difference between the Standing Committee, Portfolio Committee, and Joint Committee. A Standing Committee is a committee which is established by an act of Parliament or any act. And then a committee, a Portfolio Committee, is a committee which is established by the rules, most of the National Portfolio Committee on Health or Education. This is a committee which is established by rules of the Parliament, which can be changed at any whatever at any time, for example, of which the standing cannot be changed unless there is an amendment to the legislation. That's why it's called Standing Committee. All the Standing Committees is because their roles and function has been defined and established by a certain legislation. Then the joint committee are also established by the national rules and also the NOSOP rules, which are joint rules, they are what called as joint rules. So this committee is a standing. Whether it can be another government or another term, they still have this standing committee unless there's the amendment to the Public Audit Act, which is the act that established this committee. As I just said, this committee has been established by the Act called Public Audit Act. The Section 10 of this Act, called Public Audit Act, Section 10.3, established this Act in terms of the Section 55 2B, Roman Figure 2 of the Constitution. You see, what is happening, all the members? Section 55 of the Constitution gives empowers in National Assembly to provide mechanism, oversight mechanism, which is committee, of which all executive organs of the state in the national sphere of government have to account to it, which means accountability, and also would reach the members of the National Executive Authority and other organs of the state have to be overseen by that particular committee. So, Section 55 gives two powers to the National Assembly committee, the accountability and the oversight responsibilities. But you have heard me when I say that this committee is established by Section 10.3 of the Public Audit Act in terms of Section 55 2B of the Roman Figure 2 of the Constitution. Then it jumps 52A. 52A is the one who gives accountability. Then I ask this question, I talk to the legal advisor of the institution. When this act was made, why it only refers to the establishment to the Section 52BA? Because all committees of the parliament, your portfolio committees, whatever, they have these powers in the Section 55. But 55 2A and 55 2B, which are about accountability and oversight. But for this committee, I mean, when it was established in terms of this act, it doesn't emphasize on, I mean, it excludes the Section 52A, that is accountability, and only concentrate on Section 62B, which is about the oversight. And I liaise with the legal advisor of the parliament. And then I said one time, because I thought that one of the reasons might be because these institutions, this Chapter 9 institutions that oversee, and all Chapter 9 institutions are being governed by Chapter 9 in Section 181 of the Constitution. And Section 181.2, which we know that all the Chapter 9 institutions are independent and only subjected to the Constitution and the law. Maybe the one of the reasons. But this guy said, because really, when we deal with this act, we'll see, for example, say, I want to talk about this thing. In Section 4 of this act, the powers of the AG are being derived from Section 4 and Section 5 of this Act, Public Audit Act. On those powers, they are streamlined. They are powers that say these are constitutional powers and other functions. Similarly, also the reports that AG have to be given to the Parliament, to the US, via US, of course, as a committee, are also being tabulated in this act, in Section 10 of this act, and therefore accountability reports then the tabulated list of reports would have called accountability reports as per this act. So then now this guy said, no, the reason that I think there was a deliberate move to exclude section 55-2A because the AG have to, I mean the accountability streamline for AG to parliament. It's not like general as your education or health or whatever portfolio where you can go and say you must come and account to this and this. I mean in policies, if you say that no, we don't agree with this policy because this is not what the ruling party have said, so go and change this policy. When we are, because the policy is emanating from your manifesto, your MTSA, for example, so here the portfolio committee and say, no, department, executive authority, this is not what we've agreed. This is not what this ruling party have adopted as a policy, so go and change this thing. But here, the difference, that's why I say streamlined. In the auditor general, if for example, I say that we are decided to move in this accounting policy so that we can able to be relevant in terms of international accounting standards. We cannot say that, no, we're not going to change that thing, because that is why he's saying it is streamlined. That's why there are reports called accountability reports that us, as the committee of the parliament, we held auditor general accountable based on those reports. So what I was trying to explain is that only the powers that were given as per this section 10.3 that established this committee, we only been it is established in terms of only oversight. We oversee the auditor general in terms of their actions and of course activities and finances. Also, the auditor general, although that is, this committee, its powers are derived from Section 2C of this part of this Act, which says that it provides that we're supposed to assist and protect AG so that it can execute its duties in a manner that is partial, independent, and also effectiveness. So that is our role as a SCOWEC, is to protect and assist AG in order to ensure that he executes his duties in order to uphold independence, impartiality, and also effectiveness. That is the reason why we have got this committee called SCOWEC. That is our primary role as per Section 2C of this Constitution, of the Act. And but at the same time, honorable members, it doesn't mean that because our primary role is to protect, our powers, because our primary role is to protect and assist the AG. But we also have other powers as similar with other committees, like, for example, Section 56 gives powers to any committee of parliament that may summon any person to come to appear before it for oath or to give evidence under oath or affirmation of any document. You can summon any institution or person to come and report to it. So we still have those powers, irregardless that our powers as the committee to oversee AG, but we also enjoy other powers that is being enjoyed by other committees in general, other National Assembly committees, as per Section 56 of the Constitution. And what this committee does, I just put in high level summary, what is the function normally, what the committee normally does in its job. Normally, we advise the National Assembly with any issues with regard to the AG. Any issue that regards the AG, we advise through the reports and then adopt the House to the Speaker, adjourn to the Speaker, and then the House adopts the reports, and then that's how we do. And we recommend to the National Assembly the appointment of the AG, but I'll come to that one. We consider budget business plan of the Auditor General and submit the recommendation to the Speaker of Parliament. We approve retention of surplus that they normally come each and every financial year after they've submitted their books. Then they come to us as Parliament if they've got a surplus in their books. For example, they've generated a surplus, so that the law says that we must approve that surplus for the continuous use of that surplus by AG. It depends on the committee whether to approve or not approve, but these are the things that we also consider. And we also approve the audit tariffs and the audit directives, of course, are also there. These are the things that we do as a committee at the high level, but with the other things that we also do. But I thought that it was fine. I thought that it was prudent for me to also just highlight what is the AG, this animal that we are overseeing. As I just said, that AG, now I'm going to, AG has been established by Chapter 9 of the Constitution, Section 181 of the Constitution, in particular 181E of the Constitution. As a Chapter 9 institution, it is expected to strengthen the democratic, it is one of the institutions which is expected to strengthen our democracy as a country. But its powers and functions are derived from Section 188 of the Constitution. They are there, as I put in this document that I presented to you, they are there. I just made a summary of those particular powers and functions of the AG. But Section 188.4, that's also the Constitution, also gives additional powers in terms of the legislation. In fact, Section 188.4 say? Say that you can have another act that will give additional powers other than those that are constitutional, that are being highlighted in the Constitution. There are other additional powers that AG should suppose must function, which are being listed in this particular act, which is Public Audit Act. So I also listed them in that particular document. But what I can say is that as per this act, as I just say, Section 4 of this act tabulates those particular functions of the AG. We have got the it also tabulates what AG is supposed to do, or that it differentiates between must and may. There are those functions that AG must, there are those functions that AG may do. We call those functions discretionary audits, those may. I will come to those particular may things when I present going forward. And as I just said, the Section 4 gives the powers of the AG, powers and functions of the AG, and Section 5 gives other powers which are not constitutional. In fact, the powers of AG are both. They are those powers that are derived directly from the Constitution. We are called constitutional powers of the AG. And then there are other functions that are given, like to perform your investigation. If, for example, the department can be in suspicion of a corruption or any fraudulent, it can go and request AG to investigate in that particular fraud. So it's the other function. AG is not compulsory, or it's not a must that AG must investigate that part of a fraud. You have a suspicion of fraud, for example. So this is other function, which is not a constitutional function. So there are two functions that AG is having. There are constitutional functions, powers function, and other functions, like this one I just made. And as I said, that in particular, the other function, was not derived from the Constitution, from Section 5 of this Constitution, of the Act. Now, from the previous year, having idea what the AG, what is the committee does in order to execute this job, I think it is prudent for now, very important imperative to come with the issues and challenges which now will require this committee. These issues or challenges, some of them have been the issues that have been dealt by the committee but were not completed, or some of them were just concerns that were concerning the previous COWAG. Number one, first issue or challenge. Last year, in particular last year, there were threats and intimidation that AG's audit team has been experienced. The audit teams have experienced this threat and intimidation, in particular in the local government audits. For example, in Etekwini municipality, Umsunduzi municipality, if I recall, and in Johannesburg, and Mfuleni municipality in Johannesburg. Resulted to AG to withdraw his audit teams in these particular municipalities because they were intimidated. They were either intimidated or threatened. In the case of Mfuleni, one of the employees was even shot and injured. Now, because of this particular frustration, the committee, the previous committee, was being really concerned about things. As a result, we decided to call a meeting for SAPS, South African Police Service, and the COCTA as the custodian of the local government OTTs. On that meeting, it was resolved that COCTA would come up with the initiative. He was going to draft what was an initiative, a plan, in that would seek to ensure that the OTTs, whenever they go to any municipality, they are free to execute their duties without being interfered. Secondly, the SAPC, the SAPS was supposed to work closely with the AG so that to develop the security measures, to prevent this happening, in future, so that the auditors can work fairly, free and fair in those particular municipalities. So, ever since that particular time, we have never inducted, because that thing happened towards the end of the term, the fifth term. So, we haven't made any follow-up in terms of that promise or commitment that we made by COCTA in terms of in the development of intervention plan and also that security measures. So I think this committee will need to make a follow-up in terms of those commitments that were made by SAPS and also COCTA in so far as to prohibit this incident that were happening of the threats and threats and intimidation that was happening to AG's team. The second issue was the issue of the contestation of AG's findings or outcomes. Most of the audits last, in particular in the 2017-18, about 56 of them, they were contesting the AG's findings or outcomes. And most of these contesting were end up in court, in the court. But the contestation were ranging to, if, for example, the audit didn't get a clean audit, they would contest that they're supposed to get this clean audit and contest in terms of technical issues and also in the some of the contemporary the technical issues, the consultation, that's what they raised for example, those particular auditees. As I said, 56 of them contested the auditor general's findings or outcomes. And five of them were end up being caught. One of them was, what I recall now, was Water Affairs and SARS. What is happening is that it also concerns the committee, that thing, the previous committee. One of the things that concerns the committee was that one of the things is that it has financial implication to AG, because AG have to go and defend in court this particular contestation, this contestants, these auditors that contesting his findings. So end up accumulating more funds. Because in the month, because in the legal fees, because we could not have been budgeted those particular, he could not have anticipated that there will be some contestation in terms of his findings, so could not have budgeted the legal fees for that particular contestation. Challenges in terms of his findings. So it was having a turn, taking a turn in his financial. Finances of the AG. So it had a financial implication. The second concern that the committee has was that this was having it was damaging or tarnishing the reputation of the AG. And as a result, I think the committee recommended that particular term, the previous committee, to the AG, that AG, you must work, in fact, they must work consistently with his auditees in this instance. For example, there is what we call as review of status records. What is happening there is that AG, I would say in terms of layman's language, is where the AG informally audits these auditees quarterly. Quarterly AG just go and informally audits them on a quarterly basis. That called status of review of records. I would say informally audits them. So they must not come at the end of the financial year. The findings or outcome of the AG must not come to them as a surprise. Quarterly, the AG must continue to informally audit this particular audit so that they must to eliminate this this happened, that was happening, where they're challenging the outcomes and findings of the age, because we won't have any gap. I mean, we'll close the gap of the challenge, because each and every quarterly, we'll give them the old, the findings, in the quarterly, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. So at the end of the financial, it won't come and surprise the findings or outcomes of the age. So it's one of the things that it was recommended by the committee, that AG must, God must continue with this project, which is called Status Records Review Project, which I can say in layman's view is informal auditing of auditors by AG on a quarterly basis. And the another issue was the issue of discretionary audits. And I just talked about discretionary. In that Section 4, as I said, that Section 4 of the Public Audit Act gives the powers and functions of the audit, what auditor general can, must audit and may audit. For example, Section 4.3 of that particular, of this act, says that auditor general may audit. In fact, what I want to emphasize there, auditor general is not compulsory to audit SOEs, particularly the big SOEs, your SAPC, your SAA is not compulsory as per this the act. So it's one of the discretionary, we call that as a discretionary audit. But currently, for example, I think AG is auditing, of which AG, the last committee which they have invested that AG could have audited all the 20, there are 21, all of them. There's large and financial risk SOEs, your TNEL, your SAPC, your SAE. So current age is auditing 13 out of that 21. He was auditing 11, but with the advent of this outbreak of KPMG and Ngonge last year, that we know it was on the news that Ngonge would have to do with the Gupta companies, that it was auditing, and also KPMG with the SARS, for example. So AG decided to drop those particular audit companies and took over TNEL and South Africa, and it was TNEL and TPSA, these two big organizations. They were audited by Ngong, and then AG took over the audits of the TNEL and TPSA. So they were 11 and raised to 13. So what I was trying to say, the committee, the previous committee, which that said that all these 21 of them, we call Schedule 2 of the PFMA SOEs, those big and financial risk organizations, should be audited by AG. But unfortunately, honorable members, AG said, no, this is here to do with the capacity, with the resources. Because when you go and audit to those particular organizations, you don't require your normal auditor. A guy who's got a chartered accountant or an auditor, let's say. You have to have a multidisciplinary skills task, because of this complex to audit them, because you must understand the business of that particular organization. He made an example, for instance, SAAA. In order to determine whether this ticket, the cost of the ticket, and the auditor cannot just determine, okay, it was the correct amount that the ticket was, say, is 400 rand or 450 to fly from East London to Joburg, for example. The normal auditor can't be able to determine that. You need to have an extra, that's why you extra skills, a person who has got the understanding of the particular industry. That's why normally the audit team of those that send to that age is send them to those particular SOEs is a multidisciplinary team with a different skills. You have your engineers, for example, if you go to imagine an example, for example, yeah, even SAA, you must have your engineers and other skills, for example, that it also some forensic investigation, forensic skills is what he meant. So is what he told us as a comment last time, that it is very difficult to audit a normal audit to go and audit for those SOEs. So the issue that, or the challenge that we experienced, was experienced by AG in order to ensure that he can audit what those SO is the finances, the issue, the resources, which I'll come to those finances or resources at the end. And another issue that was the issue of another challenge was the performance audits. In performance audits, I normally said, here, you audit, or what you audit, rather than to audit normally your regulatory audits, you audit whether you comply with the regulation, you comply with the with the laws that govern your treasure, if it's the PFME, you comply with the, whether the auditors comply with the treasure regulation, with the PFMA, for example, and another legislation. And also, we are able to balance books well, debit and credit. That is the regularity. That's what the auditor is doing now, wherever it's auditing his auditors. But when you talk about the performance audit, there is whether you want to determine whether there was adequate and appropriate measures taken in order to ensure that the resources were procured economically and used effectively and efficiently and effectively. That is now, we talk about the performance audits. It's no longer that you are able to comply with the PFMU, the regulation, balance books, trade and debit well. But whether that resource you have procured, you want that output, the resource were procured economically and you are used efficiently and effectively. That's what is called performance audits, which as a South Africa was still very far to implement that kind of a performance audit because we're still unable to do the regulatory audits to balance the books of debit and credit. But currently, age is moving towards that. In fact, it's about the value for money. For example, you can, if the bridge has been built, it's order to determine whether this bridge, there was a value for money for this bridge. Well, even if the correct tender processes have been followed and three codes have been submitted, and where the performance was determined whether this amount or the value that was charged or was used, the amount, let me say, so the amount that was charged to, in order to pay this bridge was accurate and correct amount, and whether this bridge was going to add any beneficial, any economic benefit in the place that has been bridged, has been built to. Well, that's where we started to talk about the performance audits now. Now, currently, the AG, even that is easy, he has not yet implemented his performance audits on a full scale. He just implemented them on a very, very, very small scale because the same challenges, because the challenge of finances, and which is not yet resolved. Another issue is the issue of regulation. The regulations, as I said, that our PAA has been amended in the previous 1 year. Then, according to the Act, it was supposed, the AG was supposed to draft a regulation and submit those regulations to the Speaker of the Parliament for the adoption by the Parliament, but he must do that in consultation with the committee. Indeed, the AG has submitted those particular regulations to the previous committee, and the committee considered and adopted, supported that. So those regulations were submitted to the Speaker. I don't know now where are they in the process, but they have not yet promulgated those regulations that we're aiming to implement this PAA amendment. So I think it's another thing that the committee need to follow up, whether how far the process now in terms of promulgating those regulations that are aiming to fully implement the PAA amendment. Another issue was the implementation of the PAA Public Audit Act as amended. It was agreed, Chair and members, that the Public Audit Act as amended, as we know, is not going to be introduced or implemented as he wants. It's going to be implemented into phases. Because the reason was that, what was the reason? It was also the financial implication, because AG couldn't alone afford that. So it was left to the fiscals to in the medium term budget, in the medium term expenditure framework to finance the additional powers given to AG, so that to finance the amendments of the Public Audit Act. So, now, what we said as a committee, we said that quarterly, AG should supposed to update the committee on the progress in terms of implementation. And also, one of the activities AG was supposed to do was to conduct roadshows and workshops to the for his auditors and the relevant stakeholders like committees of parliament, so that we can know what are the changes in terms of the audit and the the Public Audit Act, for example. And another issue was the benchmarking. As I spoken with about the performance audit, and I said the AG was in a process to fully implement the performance audit in a large scale, but now he hasn't done that owing to the resource constraints or capacity. As a committee, we said, okay, it was one of the annual performance, one of our plans in the previous annual performance plan, in the previous year, that we need to undertake a study to those countries that have that are doing these performance audits. One of the countries that came in our minds was Canada, for example. So that whenever we assist and protest is our primary role of the committee. But we must know what is this, how did our countries, other countries, have been managed to fully implement these performance audits, so that we can help to assist and protect doing our primary responsibilities being given us by the Public Audit Act of protecting and supporting assisting AG. So unfortunately, that plan has not been executed owing to the time constraints, because it was busy in the previous financial year, so we couldn't go. Coming another issue is the funding model of the AG. OAG doesn't get money from the fiscals. Doesn't get money from the fiscal, from the treasurer, from finance, no. The AG sustains itself through the audit fees. Each and every, whenever it goes to audit, the auditees, your municipal or department of health, education, whatever, you have to pay the audit fees to AG. So that's how it sustains finances. So it doesn't receive money from the fiscals. Like any other public, like any other chapter institution, public project that gets money from the fiscals through justice. You can mention them. South African Human Rights gets money through, I think, also justice. In fact, even other sphere, other half of the state, because it's the issue, the Chief Justice gets money through executive, because his budget has to be beaten by justice in order to get money. So, these are just dynamics that are currently happening now. And which parliament, in terms of OISD office, he was busy considering. Now, what is happening is that during the previous years, since 2013-14, there was a challenge that were threatening financial sustainability and viability of AG. The challenge was that, as I said, the AG only relies on these audit fees. Now, the challenge was that the auditees were not paying AG. So AG was sitting with a huge amount of debts, dating back some years and years. The auditors couldn't pay AG. So there was the challenge of outstanding debts to AG, which was threatening its financial sustainability and viability. But on 2015-16, if I recall correctly, the AG came up with a strategies which was approved by the committee. The collection strategies, one of them was to litigate these auditors that were refusing, or rather refusing, or not paying him, not paying the answer. So litigation and also ring fencing. Some of them, he agreed that, okay, if you say that you come to the agency to present that, okay, I can't afford to pay this audit fees, then I can pay next year, then they have to agree on ring fencing. Let's say, take 10,000 this month, you can take 40,000 in after 4 months, things like that. So ring fencing of the sitting funds for audit fees. Although those collection strategies that were adopted in 2015-16 at least try to resolve the problem. The problem is still not yet resolved thoroughly. So it's still a problem. So what we said we sat down, we advised, as we, our job, to advise the staff. And then we said, for example, if you look at the Section 36 of the Public Audit Act, if this act actually, even though Audit Agent doesn't get money from the fiscal, but it doesn't say that you must, or thou shall not give Auditor General a money from this fiscal. Because Section 36 of this act, in fact, allows Parliament to allocate funds to the AG. Now, underline the word Parliament, not, I didn't say executive through the Finance National Treasury. It says Parliament must get appropriate funds for Auditor General. It says Section 36, I think 36.1b of this act. So we said, even though AG have experienced these particular challenges in terms of the challenges which I said they were threatening its financial sustainability and viability, we never invoked this section. This section has never been invoked, Section 36. There has never been an attempt to invoke this section which allows that AG can be appropriated funds by Parliament. In fact, this is one of the recommendations that was coming from the Akadasma report, because there was a report called Akadasma report where it was looking into the functioning and the functioning of the Chapter 9 institutions. In fact, where I was going to come, as I said, that the AG currently is not able to audit all the 21 SOEs owing to financial constraints, and also I also said he cannot fully implement in a large scale the performance audits owing to capacity. So I said we agreed, the committee resolved the previous one, that he had to be supported in order to build internal capacity so that can be able to perform those, to perform the performance audits, and also to audit all the SOEs, 21 of them. Currently, there is a process that is unchampioned by the office supporting institution, office of the institution supporting democracy, is where it is looks on the financing and funding of the all the chapter institution, and even that chief director, the chief justice office, because I said all the chapter institution. I mean, some of the chapter institutions are still depending on the executive in order to get funds, including Chief Justice's office depends on the executive in order to get funds. So there is this office that sits here in Parliament called OISD is in the process of determining and considering on the better process of funding this chapter institution. So I think this government will have to participate on that particular debate. It's a huge process of debate that is currently being championed by that office, but I'm not sure how far it is now. The last issue, the current AG, is then expires in November 2020, because he has been given 7 years to, 7 non-renewable and fixed term. So it expires in 2020. So the process to appoint the AG is being governed by 193 of the Constitution, which just gives the qualification and criteria of the person to be appointed in the AG. And also Section 6 of this Act, Public Audit Act, requires the Speaker of the Parliament to initiate the appointment of the AG. The appointment, because the Speaker initiates the recommendation of the person to be appointed as the AG to the President, so that the President signs. So what is happening? The Speaker, the Parliament, recommends, after the long process of interviews and whatever, recommends to the President for the person to become, to be appointed as the AG, which in turn the President determines the term. The term according to this Constitution, Section 118 of the Constitution, is supposed to be between 5 to 10 years. It's a fixed non-renewable term of between 5 to 10 years. So normally, the previous president and even the president who appointed the first democratic AG normally gave 7. The one was given 7, and Nombembe was given 7 years, of which the term is supposed to be between 5 and 10 years. Any years between 5 and 10 years. So this committee might be given that responsibility to appoint the AG, of which in the previous term, when this current AG was appointed, I don't know, as I said, Section 6, it required the Speaker to initiate the process of appointing or recommend the person. The Speaker decided to formulate an ad hoc committee to appoint this current incumbent. But I don't know now what the Speaker would decide, but normally it should be this committee. Actually, I think I exhausted all the list that I was having in front of me, whatever I wanted to say, unless my colleague is having anything to add. Thank you.
It's not much, just one thing that he left. So they also that the AG charge when he charges the audit fees. Those audit tariffs are approved by the committee. But there is a market value rating that the AG charges, but it's below the market rating. That's another challenge that makes the AG to have insufficient funding. Because given that auditees, they are not paying their audit fees, but also is charging below the market value compared to other private auditors. At the same time, AG appoint on contract basis the private auditors to audit the SOEs. So those SOEs, they don't charge below the market rate. They charge at the market rate, while the AG from the auditees charges below the market rate, which means those are the challenges that AG face. Also, they can compromise the independence of the AG. Because if the AG will not have sufficient funds to execute audits, so which means it won't be able to execute audits accordingly, according to the legislation.
I have to leave you to talk for us to listen. I don't know whether the members have got any questions on the presentation, mainly on the outstanding matters which for us they need some consideration. One is the area that relates to the funding model. You can link that with the tariffs, which is what is actually pertaining currently. And another area which would need our urgent attention is the question that relates to the draft regulations, which are not yet signed off by the Speaker for the finalization by this Parliament. And therefore, the hindrance that relate to the implementation of the Act's amendment going forward. If you have heard all those who spoke after the release of the audits of local government, they were harping on the amendment. When is this amendment going to be implemented? For the AG's office to get the required ability to enforce his findings and the areas that relate to be somewhat the auditees are supposed to somewhat to implement going forward. So if the regulations are still outstanding, so then the relevance of such, even parliamentarians were speaking, harping on this kind of amendment, even though there is no finalization of regulations which are going to assist the implementation of that amendment. So there are some of the urgency in dealing with some of these issues which have been somewhat highlighted for the effectiveness of the AG. And then these other things that relate to powers, functions, mandates, and so forth, I'm sure we need to take our time to read the Act, because that's what we're dealing with, and just to make ourselves more firmly on these kinds of presentations going forward. Here are the colleagues, honorable members, from page 7 up to page 9, areas that are going to be informing our bit of work, you see, going forward in terms of the outstanding matters of the committee. The Auditor General himself has emphasized that the threats they had to withdraw from fully, so the report that has been issued now is not carrying the report of Mfuleni municipality, because they had to withdraw from that municipality, and therefore that without any audit. When we hear from them, there are things that are going to hear going forward. Honorable Mlenzana.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. Let's welcome the speed of work that has been done. And I concur with you, Chair, that for the other part of this report, we need time. A workshop kind of an arrangement, Chair, where we are able to be on par with issues. I think that would be good. Let me just pick on two issues. Just two issues, Chair. On threats and intimidation. Chair, I want us to check, though I understand we are in the tail end of the budget cycle, and as such, we may not have that impact, but I just wanted to check if our interaction with the Standing Committee on Appropriations, as far as this matter is concerned, how far would it assist? For we cannot allow perpetual disregard of law, because that's exactly what it is. Whilst there's money appropriated to such municipalities, I know we have to be cautious of the fact that we cannot hold the electorate down there into ransom because of individuals who are hell-bent on messing up the processes.
The last one. What be on the funding model. I think, Chair, this has to be taken up as a matter of urgency. Let's get perhaps not now a rhetoric. Let's have a detail in terms of well put together in terms of motivation, correctly as it was put, that there's nothing which bars government from actually assisting the Office of the Auditor General in terms of the additional funding. Let's put facts together and make proposals so that Treasury can begin to apply its mind. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the presentation. We truly welcome the presentation. Chair, I thought we'd agree with you that there are issues of agency that require the committee's attention. But what worries is that the presenter speaks of certain interventions that were initiated from the committee or from Parliament, but he does not know where they are as far as the process is concerned. So I want to propose that maybe it's important that all the outstanding issues that the committee must pronounce them, must pronounce itself on, should be tabled, maybe in support of what Honorable Mlanzane is suggesting, that a form of workshop is required, but in that workshop, issues that have already been initiated must be identified, and at least we know the status in terms of how far are they in the value chain, and what is it that is still required from our side. I think, Chair, the issue of audit fees, it's more of a grudge relationship. Hence, there would be a growing debt from those that are supposed to be paying the audit fees. Because it's like buying a funeral plan. When you buy a funeral plan, you know that you might need it, but it might mean demise to yourself, being a living person. So paying the AG to come and tell you that you are not complying with your own predetermined objectives might not be appealing. So I think it's very much important, Chair, that the same way that the executive is restructuring the macro government structure based on the outcomes of the election and the commitment and so on in terms of trimming and realigning government, it's something that we can initiate as a discussion to say, are our Chapter 9 institutions properly funded? And it should not be a discussion that is not supported by Parliament. It should be supported by Parliament, and maybe I think that this committee and the Appropriations Committee, as Honorable Mlanzane is indicating, can play a major role in assisting that particular process to unfold. But the last one, Chair, I think that the biggest challenge that the AG is confronted with is mainly structural, and also financial deficiencies. Structural in a sense that the presenter speaks of certain required skills that the AG does not possess. And from how the market responds in terms of how the fees are being calculated, this skill seems to be very expensive. So I would suggest that when we look at the funding model, we should also look at the structural model as far as the AG is concerned, to be able to say that with the kind of capacity that it has, will the AG be able to do the quarterly report that we spoke to? Because if we are unable to meet the audit demands currently, and we are further committing that we want to do quarterly reports, does the AG have sufficient capacity to be able to implement such a noble move? And I think, Chair, that will assist, because, I mean, the commitment of the SONA, and I'm going to read it verbatim, it emphasizes the need to build a capable state that will deliver quality public service free from corruption and maladministration. And I think where we are sitting, the AG will play a significant role in assisting us, particularly with the improvement of service delivery, because the audits are mainly with regards to the predetermined objectives in the performance contract that cities would have or provinces would have with their constituencies. So utmost support is required from us as a committee and as Parliament to ensure that the AG functions optimally. The last one is that I'm worried that the report would not have Mvule in it. And it's okay. We accept that as Parliament, we accept that as a country. Because for me, Chair, this is tantamount to conceding to lawlessness. And we can't. I think that the spirit of our constitution in terms of our corporate governance nature, it should be shown as early as this one. Because if Mvuleni gets away with it, who's next? And if we are not acting with Mvuleni, would we be able to act with the next one? So I think that the serious attention needs to be paid in terms of what can be done. And maybe it's important that in the next session where the AG will be with us, let us find out how then can Parliament assist in strengthening the work of the AG, particularly given the threats and intimidations that they are going through. For now, I'll pause there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I note with concern the auditees that are not paying, and that is the only source of the AG's funds. I think as a committee, one of the most important things we can look at is behind these auditees, which are essentially state entities in various forms, such people who should be held criminally or personally liable for auditees who fail to pay their audit fees, and in process disempower the AG of its powers, which is a Chapter 9 and very important institution. So I think we have a very important task ahead of us, and we should not be fooled by the word auditees or just see them as municipalities or provinces. Behind those entities sit people, and they should be held accountable for essentially disempowering the Auditor General. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. My name is very brief. I just want to check with the powers that the AG has. We know of the powers of the public protector. She makes investigations, findings, and then recommendations to the NPA or whatever. Is the AG having those particular powers to investigate and from there make recommendations for the arrest of people who are irregularly spending money of the public or of taxpayers in municipalities and so on? It is very important. If he doesn't, we must make sure that he has powers, because he can't just come and investigate and not have powers to give us a way forward. Secondly, that issue of funding, it is very important, because I know of municipalities that are buying clean audits. I know there are plenty of them. They buy clean audits. It's a fact. Once we don't fix this issue of the AG being funded by the government or from the fiscal money, the sooner the better. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies if I will ask something that was explained in detail, because I went out for a few minutes. But when the content advisor was explaining about the term of office of Auditor General, he said that they have 7 years. In fact, they have been getting 7 years, even the previous one. But I am reading at the legacy report in which the previous committee said that the current one must be reappointed. I think that the constitution is very clear. The contract is not renewable. The term of office of an Auditor General, in fact, all Chapter 9 institutions, just like public protector, they're not renewable. So you can't say just because this term we want to continue. So I would say this committee must be ready to do the necessary things. In fact, even inform speakers that the process is started. If the one has to be appointed by November, we can start it towards the end, maybe October 2020. I think the committee should start now informing the speaker, so that thing is maybe early next year advertised for a new Auditor General. But lastly, I think I also support the fact that other than the fees Auditor General is getting from the auditees, there must be an amount that is getting from the national fiscal. I support that one, that there must be an amount that it is getting from the national fiscal. But those that are being audited, they must pay. In fact, they need to budget in their institution, budget for audit fees. It is done in other municipalities, they budget for audit fees. On the issue of the Auditor General getting teeth, if I can put it, But I think that thing, it has been done. I don't know. It has been done. In fact, even the president talked on it, though I'm not sure about when it's starting. But I think it has been done. It has been a cry all over that the Auditor General has no teeth, has no power to deal with those that it has seen over there. I think. But it has been done. We just need to check this year.
Thanks for the comments. I think some of the areas are going to come up. On the last comment of the effect of the amendments to the Act to assist that the Auditor General's assertions are somewhat followed in a way. Yes, that amendment does exist. What is still outstanding is what I was talking about, is then to look into the regulations of such. So the matter of regulations, which I think that between myself and the secretary, we must probably remind the office of the speaker about that outstanding matter, which ought to be finalized, you see. Because if indeed that is what is happening on the degenerating outcomes, there will be less enforcement, and that is creating a big problem for the nation generally. Knowing that even the president has spoken about that fact, so there's a need that at least we must work towards that. So we must somewhat approach the office of the speaker to remind them about that outstanding matter as a matter of urgency. And secondly, the workshop, I think we must work towards that. Must look into the dates that are going to be suitable for us to have that kind of an extensive working as far as the workshop is concerned. We're supposed to be breaking at 2. So, the third thing that we really have to look into is this fact then that when we meet with the Auditor General, there are some of the issues that we must begin to pose for us to know even further about how many municipalities were not audited and the reasons thereof, and then probably find a way of assisting if indeed we have to deal with that. One example is Fulani, which has been highly publicized as such. And one matter which is coming out is the question of funds, payment by auditees, and as well the responsibility of the fiscus to provide, so to you balance the factor of independence in a way. Because if you rely on my payments, there is a risk as well out there in terms of the quality aspect which we need to somewhat assist going forward based on the areas of capacity. And the fifth area which is coming up as a point of reference is the issue which is looking into a detailed outlook of such financials. What is the current financial standing, and then therefore what are the options that we could probably in assisting get closer to one way or the other. On the outstanding areas that were questions, if you could briefly give response to those if you are able to, but it looks like members were reflecting on areas that this committee must mainly be busy itself even without probably requiring any answers necessarily. Yes, Mr. Mkach.
I think there is only one point. You have already covered Honourable Mamabon in terms of the question powers of the AG. It's exactly what you just said, because this amendment, the Public Audit as amended, was covering, because previously was not having that those teeth where you were seeing the remedial action, or whether to hold whatever, to investigate. In fact, now there are the powers that are given to the new amendment, which now we talk about the regulation to implement that amendment, public audit amendment. And the second one, I think, to make it clear, no, I doubt if that legacy report is AG. The person that we appointed was DAG. DAG can be reappointed. As I just said, AG is fixed, non-renewable, of between 5 to 10 years. Other than that, Ambakaya, no coming, no turning back after your term. Thank you, sir.
Okay. A relevant point about it is that we must begin to inform the speaker as well about such a, at least in terms of the Muslim, we must say, if you find a way of alerting them.
So that one is, as I said, that speaker initiates the process. So actually, there's no harm to reminding her. But like in the previous, you normally start latest, the honorable member said, we cannot wait until it, like I think the last time it was really very late in a way, but of which now we end up that coming to work under pressure. But there's no harm in reminding her, because this is like the same, the act says that she must initiate the process. So wait for him to, for her to initiate the process. What about if he initiated the process in October in 2020? So there's no harm in writing to him to remind her, you see.
Okay, no, fine. Can we go to the last point on the agenda?
What
is the main agenda?
No,
the draft. That's a short. Yeah, the short page, which makes reference to two areas that we must attend to this quarter. Quarter must be in quarter. It ends 26th of July. Now this is what we have to deal with between now and the 26th of July. There's a proposal that on the 26th of July, which is Friday, we must receive a briefing from the Auditor General. I was saying to the Secretary earlier on that I'm serving in the committee on SCOPA. In that committee, there is already some agreement that we could accommodate one another. You see, the Auditor General has been invited to COGTA, has been invited on the same matter. You see, rather than doing so, you see, for fatigue purposes, for detail on our part, why can't we jointly with SCOPA sit and listen to the Auditor General? And that sitting is taking place as proposed next week on Tuesday. There's a proposal on the table that we must get that briefing, not the 26th. If it was going to be us alone, we're going to listen to the AG on the 26th. But that proposition is bringing it closer for us to have to do so, noting the fact that the speaker has already referred that report to SCOPA and COGTA. Has already referred the report to SCOPA and COGTA. It will be probably on our advantage to join that committee, not necessarily joining the committee, for us jointly to say jointly we are responsible for that meeting, which is going to take place next Tuesday, so that Secretary could liaise with the Secretary of SCOPA for us to get proper times for that. Does the committee agree with that? Is it, I think it's a normal Tuesday next week. Is that okay? Fine. So the committee agrees that let's take this and bring it forward for us to do so. Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Minister.
If we could add that central resources azame ukuthi we get such documentation, there is time,
okay,
so that we get enough space and time in the documentation.
Okay. Is that okay? Yeah. If just as we get out of this, there is that kind of a linkage, and then members will see that already there is some work done towards that end, so that we know times. I know that on Tuesday already, who is having a committee, a meeting presenting for sports, arts and culture, so that the time at least could be of a good thing that all of us are part of that kind of a briefing anyway. What time are you on Tuesday?
Around
4. Oh, good, okay. So can do it a bit very early. Now must be a bit later, huh? Good. If that is the case, it somewhat comfortably affords us that kind of an opportunity. I know Mr. Mukaji is of the field that he could be dealing with this is the community's man, and he should be able to do it. We know that, but conditions, if we must be able to be flexible around such. It does not necessarily kill that independence of the committee, but we are here, all of us. Honourable members, thank you very much for your contributions, for attending this meeting. You are invited to pick up a piece of whatever. You didn't see what is outside there, but it looks like there's something which is there. You pick it up and have it before that sort. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourns.
You are the lucky one. You are looking at full house for it. That's not the only thing.